wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Whom do you love? I have a personal question for each one. Whom do you love? I did not say what, for God made man to love persons, not things. A man is degraded to the animal level who has set his love upon things, material things that may thrill his appetite and lust. Some love money. Yes, they really love it. Others love what they eat. Their God is their stomach. Some love what they drink, even though it is a curse to them. And others love their lust, honor, reputation, and even their eternal soul. They will barter to have their loved lust. Do you love such things? When God made you to love persons, parents, to love their children, husbands to love their wives, and all of us to love God. Real love comes from the heart, and since it does, it shows what a person is, uncovering his inner being. Whom you love shows what you are. That's why parents are so shocked to see their son love a reckless girl, or their daughter love a wild drinking man. It not only shows their lack of sense, but it also shows up what they are themselves at heart. My Bible text says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Those last two words are Greek words. When translated, they mean, let him be accursed. Our Lord cometh, and when he comes, he'll execute that curse. Is this verse too drastic, too uncompromising for your taste? It is God's word. This is the way the judge of all the earth, your judge, weighs men in his balances of justice. Only one thing weighs in those balances. It is love, real heart love. Love that lays its all at the feet of Jesus and says, Lord Jesus, I love thee. Take my heart, my life, my all. I lay it at thy blessed feet. I will be thine, Lord Jesus. Have you this love? Or without it? God's scale registers you as coming utterly short without one thing to your good, all against you. Why? Listen to the verdict. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That settles it. In those scales you may throw in your culture, your good works, your religion, and all else, but they do not move the scale. For in the other side is this, you do not love Jesus, and that is like a mountain of granite and holds down the scale against you. All you throw in is only as a feather, chaff, a vapor, and they make no impression. You may parade before God your love for your church house, your charitable donations, and your outward respectability, but God pays it no heed, for he sees you in that crowd at Calvary's cross, hating his beloved son, and crying, away with him, crucify him, and throwing that spear into his side, and driving those nails into his hands and feet. This so blackens your picture, it smears over everything else. You love or you hate, you admire or despise the Lord Jesus Christ. You are for him or against him. You are on the Lord's side or in the devil's crowd. There is no neutral ground. A great gulf divides the two sides now and shall so divide them in eternity. You may pretend to love Jesus on Sunday and sing, crown him Lord of all, but on Monday you curse his name with your buddies. You old hypocrite, don't you know that God sees your heart? You're not fooling him, so why try to fool yourself? The devil chuckles at your two-faced hypocrisy. Neighbor, one thing would I learn of you. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the test that will expose every hypocrite. This is the challenge that will bring to light every real Christian. For one thing he knows, he does love with all his heart his blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our verse says, if any man, no matter what may be his church membership, social standing, or his profession, this is all God needs to know about any man. Do you love Jesus? Not just say you do. He demands reality, a love that manifests itself in your desires, your words, your deeds. It must be real. If you count it not fair for God to judge and condemn you all on this one point, is it unfair to send a man to the electric chair just because he killed the sheriff or the police and condemn him just on that one point? One point revealed the rest of the man, that he was unfit to live. Here is a little illustration. Mary's a nice girl in her early 20s, and she anticipates marriage. Along comes Jim. He rides in a late model convertible. He's well-dressed and groomed. He's so genteel and mannerly that Mary falls for him. Then one day, an old friend of the family hears it. She visits Mary and warns her. Mary resents it and asks, "What do you know about Jim?" And she gets this answer, "I have known Jim since he was a baby. He was a sick child, and his mother nursed him day and night and ruined her own health for her Jim. All his life, she has, in tender motherly love, done for Jim. But you ought to hear Jim talk to her in his ungrateful abuse, and you ought to see him knock her about and even curse her." Mary's good sense and right judgment would cause her to say, "That's enough. That's all I need to know about Jim." She is right. And that's all God needs to know about you. Do you love Jesus? After he came from heaven to save you, he bled and died in agony at Calvary's cross for your sins. And in tones of love, he called you to trust him and be saved. But you turned him down. You spoke hatefully of him. You went your way in defiance of him. You would not acknowledge his claims over you. You would not even thank him for all he did in your behalf. What more must God know about you? Oh, how hard, how bitter, how ungrateful, how wicked must be your heart that you could so abuse the lover of your soul. But I will not leave you there. Let us face this question. Why is it that so many do not love Jesus when everyone ought to love Jesus? We all know that. I offer another illustration. Suppose there moved next door to you a young couple with two nice children. You observe your neighbor and you see how lovingly his attractive wife cares for him and her family as she tries to please him in every way, but it is glaringly evident that he doesn't show the first love for his wife and even very little for his children. You are stumped. What ails that man? You say to yourself, for you cannot understand why he doesn't love his nice little family. Until one day you see your neighbor's car ahead of you, and close by his side is a young woman. She is his secretary at work, but his harlot went off duty. You see them pull off the road into a wicked clubhouse. No longer is your neighbor's lack of love for his wife a puzzle to you. Why didn't he love his wife? Someone had come between them and stolen his love. My parable is clear. That's just why you do not love Jesus. Sin has come between you and your God, and the world has stolen your heart from your Savior. The truth is that you love sin and the world and not Jesus. You cannot love the world that murdered Jesus and love Jesus too any more than that man could love his harlot and love his wife too. You cannot live a double life, for the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And again it testifies, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, when will that man love his wife and his children? Not until he turns loose that harlot, and so will it be with you. I appeal to you to turn away from your sins to God, to break with the devil whose willing slave you have been, and say goodbye to this world. Turn into the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bible repentance and saving faith in Christ you cannot know except ye repent. Love for God and love for sin cannot dwell in the same heart, and love for Jesus and love for the world cannot abide together. Again, we turn to our verse. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. This is God giving him over to judgment. How solemn, how awful. Well might such an one tremble as he hears his final verdict. Don't worry and get mad when a man curses you, but tremble when God puts his anathema maranatha on on your guilty head. But when does God put this awful curse on a man? Only after he refuses to repent and he turns down his Savior, Jesus Christ. Hidden somewhere in my big audience, there is an honest and earnest soul that says, "Preacher, I confess I do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, though I know I ought to. What can I do about it? I try to love him, but still I know I don't." With all such, I would have a little heart-to-heart talk. Now listen, love cannot be manufactured. It doesn't come from a factory or a chemist's laboratory. It springs from the heart of one who has found in another the answer to his heart longing. You do not love Jesus because you do not know him. Some people, the more you know of them, the less you esteem them. But with Jesus, it is not so. For to know him is to love him. You may know a lot about him, but that won't do. You must know him. Now follow my prescription carefully. First, get on your knees and tell God all about it. Tell him with shame that you do not love Jesus, your Savior. Then ask him this: "Oh God, reveal thy Son Jesus so to me that I will love him." Amen. Second, now get your Bible and read it. You may have read the Bible before, but now it will be different. For an answer to your heart cry, the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to you. His wonderful supernatural birth will be a divine mystery to you. His words of divine majesty will fill you with admiration for him. His deeds of tender compassion for all in their misery will stir the response of love in your heart. And when you come to Calvary and you watch him die that wonderful death, the Spirit of God will whisper, "Christ died for your sins. He gave his blood to save you." And then your eyes will open to see your Savior, and your heart will burst forth with uncontrollable love. You must confess it. You will fall at his feet and say, "Lord Jesus, I thank thee for dying for me. Lord Jesus, I love thee because thou first loved me. Lord Jesus, I will be thine." And when you read of his glorious resurrection, you'll confess him, "My Lord and my God." In your heart, you'll find a real love and devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that were the Lord Jesus to challenge you as he did Simon Peter, "Simon, lovest thou me?" you could answer as did Peter, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Then show your love for him by deeds of loving service for the one who gave himself for you. Amen. And to you, the Lord Jesus will say, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So, instead of the curse of Almighty God being on your head, God the Father will love you. What a difference! But for all others, our verse still stands. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. How solemn! This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.
Down from the glory came God's Son in lowly grace to tell of story and redeem the race. Oh, the glorious mystery of the babe of Bethlehem, great event of history, God becoming man. Tasting life's sorrow, onward thou didst wend thy way, knowing the morrow that before thee lay. From the cross not shrinking, thou the cup of wrath didst take, by its contents drinking, didst atonement make. Jesus, Lord Jesus, thou hast tasted death for me.